Iranian president inaugurates new phase of a gasoline production facility in the country. Iran condemns Zionist regime's airstrikes on Syria. Russia also blasts the Zionist airstrikes on Syria as a serious breach of international law. United Nations human rights investigators call on Zionist regime to halt settlement expansion. And rival Egyptian parties sign agreement renouncing the violence that has killed dozens of people over the past week. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, the Iranian president has inaugurated a new phase of a gasoline production facility in the country. In a Thursday ceremony marking the 34th anniversary of the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad inaugurated the second stage of the third phase of the gasoline production unit at Abadan Oil Refinery. This initiative will promote Iran's status to join the world's jet fuel exporters. The new unit will also add 2 million liters of 94 and 95 octane super premium gasoline conforming to Euro 4 standard to daily production capacity of Abadan Refinery. The development will enhance the total gasoline production of Abadan Refinery to 15 million liters per day. Now, Syria has summoned the commander of the UN peacekeeping mission in Golan Heights over the Zionist regime's attack on a defense research center in Damascus. Major General Iqbal Singha was called to the foreign ministry on Thursday, where the protest was delivered. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon also announced his grave concern over the Zionist regime's airstrike on Syria. He also urged all concerned parties to prevent further tensions in the region. According to a Syrian army statement, Zionist regime fighter jets violated Syrian airspace in the early hours of Wednesday and carried out a direct strike at a scientific research center in Jamaira. The statement added that 2 people were killed and 5 others were injured in the raid, which came after several failed attempts made by terrorist groups in the past months to take control of the site. Damascus condemned the attack as a violation of a 1974 disengagement accord that followed the last major war between Syria and the Zionist regime. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman has also condemned the Zionist regime's airstrike on Syria. Rami Mamparast said the operation conducted by the aggressive Zionist forces against some targets in Syria last night showed that this regime is after creating instability in the region. He said the Zionist regime's move also indicates that the Tel Aviv regime continues its crimes and aggressions whenever it finds the opportunity. Mamparast also warned that those who are creating tension in Syria are in fact voluntarily or involuntarily laying the ground for more violations by the Zionist regime. He said regional countries should be aware of the main danger in the region, adding that the West is trying to create unrest in countries that are in the front line of the resistance movement against the occupying Zionist regime. The Iranian official further called on the regional countries to work towards the establishment of security via cooperation. The Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman also said on Thursday that Zionist airstrikes in Syria is a serious breach of UN charters. Speaking at a news conference in Moscow, Alexander Lukashenko said that Russia would consider the Zionist attack near Syria's border a serious breach of international law. The Zionist regime jets on Wednesday bombed a convoy near Syria's border with Lebanon.
We analyzed all the information we received, and if it will be confirmed, then our main conclusion is that it is a very serious breach of the UN Charter. This is an unacceptable action against a sovereign government. But again, we continue to gather all the details to recreate the whole picture. So we made a very careful conclusion that if the information is confirmed, then this is of course a serious breach of the basic norms of international law.
Still on that, Syrians reacted near the capital Damascus on Thursday against the attack carried out by low-flying Zionist warplanes. Syrian state television said Zionist regime warplanes attacked a military research center in Damascus province on Wednesday morning. According to the report, two people were killed and five others were wounded in the Tel Aviv airstrikes on Damascus.
We have to be aware that they want to rush us and impose a war on us. Syrian policy is known by its diplomacy for tens of years. It is known by its calmness and wisdom. Now, the Zionist regime is trying to impose a war at the same time when we are having an internal one.
Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says Damascus is at the forefront of anti-Zionist resistance campaign and the Muslim world would never allow the Zionist regime to march on the Syrian soil. During a meeting with Syrian Grand Mufti Sheikh Ahmad Badrin Hassan in Tehran on Thursday, Saeed Jalili said the Zionist regime would regret attacking Syria. He said military action against Syria would be a bitter disappointment for the Tel Aviv regime, like its failures in the wars waged against Lebanon and the Gaza Strip. Jalili also pointed to the important role the Muslim clergy can play in raising awareness in Muslim nations about enemies' plots. He stressed the enemy seeks to prevent the formation of a new Muslim civilization through pressure on the anti-Zionist resistance fronts. And before we continue, here is a recap of our top stories. Iranian president inaugurates new phase of a gasoline production facility in the country. Iran condemns Zionist regime's airstrikes on Syria. Russia also blasts the Zionist airstrikes on Syria as a serious breach of international law. United Nations human rights investigators call on Zionist regime to halt settlement expansion. And rival Egyptian parties sign agreement renouncing the violence that has killed dozens of people over the past week. The United Nations human rights investigators called on the Zionist regime on Thursday to halt settlement expansion and withdraw all Jewish settlements from the West Bank, saying it violates international law. The Zionist regime has not cooperated with the probe set by the Human Rights Council last March to examine the impact of settlements in the Palestinian territory. After the General Assembly upgraded the Palestinian status at the world body, the Zionist regime started to build 3,000 more settlers' homes in the West Bank and the Holy Al-Quds.
Our first recommendation in the line of the Secretary General last report issued on November last year, Israel must, that's our first recommendation, must cease settlements activities and provide adequate, prompt and effective remedies to the victims of violation of human rights. You will see how the settlements are breaking the continuity of Palestinian land. So that's why we are pointing out that it's a kind of creeping annexation.
And looking at the facts, we have given the finding and the conclusions, which say, number one, that the violations that have been carried out seriously impinge upon the self-determination of the Palestinian people. Number two, we are very concerned about the fact that the rights of the child in the Palestinian territory have been violated time and again.
Elsewhere in the Middle East, rival Egyptian parties have signed an agreement renouncing the violence that has killed more than 50 people in the country over the past week. The party leaders signed the document during a meeting with Egypt's top religious authority in a bid to find a solution to the ongoing deadly violence in the country. Signatories included Egypt's opposition figure Mohammed el-Baradei, Hamdine Sabhani of the National Salvation Front, head of the Muslim Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party, Saad al-Qahtani, and Muslim Brotherhood's deputy leader, Mahmoud Azzat. The meeting, chaired by Sheikh Ahmad al-Tayyib, the head of Al-Azhar University, comes as the Egyptian crisis enters its second week. In the latest clashes, two people were killed in clashes between policemen and protesters near Tahrir Square. The two were shot in the head and chest during the clashes. The death toll in the square in the past week of violence rose to 5, while the number of dead all over Egypt climbed to 56. Public transport workers in the Greek capital walked off the job on Thursday in a 24-hour strike, snarling traffic around Athens, while a doctor's strike left hospitals functioning with emergency staff. Our correspondent has the scoop.
Under the public sector umbrella union ADV, unions took to the streets and joined a work stoppage from 12 to 3 p.m. In parallel, Greek trains and ferries were ground to a halt and hospital staffing was cut to the very minimum as workers went on strike to protest against austerity measures demanded by the country's lenders. Unemployment is currently hovering over 26.8% within the general population and exceeds 55% within the younger age groups. Over the past months, the country has seen a surge in protests and strikes, with people taking to the streets as anger soars increasingly over wage and salary cuts, tax hikes, and social benefits trimming. Public transport in Athens was disrupted as bus, trolleys, and railway workers joined the strike, while ships and ferries stayed docked at ports after seamen also began a 48-hour stoppage. Doctor representatives underlined that the Greek state has accumulated more than $1 billion of debt toward healthcare providers and professionals for 2012 alone, literally bringing them at the edge of economic collapse. This is indeed the sixth consecutive year of harsh and deep economic recession for debt-racked Greece. In this context, protesters underscore that a change of governmental policy is needed to take the country out of the crisis. In a separate protest, about 1,000 supporters of the communist-affiliated PAME group gathered outside the main Athens court to express their solidarity with activists arrested for storming the Labour Ministry's office just yesterday. The latest protest come after a 10-day walkout by metro workers that led to a standoff that paralyzed transport across the Greek capital. The strike ended only after the government invoked an emergency law and threatened to arrest the workers under conscription orders. Under the public sector umbrella organization syndicate, ADV, people and workers from the healthcare sector, nurses, doctors, as well as employees from the local administration, all gather in downtown Athens to demonstrate against the austerity measures imposed by the Troika of international creditors in Greece. They're asking for more development and less tax hikes that have been squeezing the public sector. Sector employees seeing their revenue slashed again and again over time. This is one of the major tests for syndicates and also Prime Minister Antonis Samaras, who will be confronted with the soaring unemployment rates of 26.8% within the general population and more than 50% within the younger age groups. Lucas Jomanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
Still in Europe, hundreds of Portuguese have gathered in front of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF headquarters in the capital Lisbon, to protest against IMF's demand of more spending cuts and tougher austerity measures in the country. The demonstrators shouted slogans such as IMF, get out of Portugal during the protest rally, which was organized by a group called October 15. Portugal, which is heading for a third straight year of economic recession, has a jobless rate of 16.3%. On Saturday, thousands of Portuguese teachers marched through Lisbon to voice their opposition to the government's austerity program and cuts in the education system. The government has said that the cuts will help Portugal meet the conditions imposed by its creditors, the European Central Bank, the IMF, and the European Union. They are keeping an eye on Portugal's implementation of spending cuts and reforms required in return for the 78 billion euro rescue package the country received in 2011. Now, according to a new report from the Corporation of Enterprise Development, 43.9% of U.S. households are living on the edge of financial collapse. The non-profit organization reported that in the event of a job loss, health crisis, and other income-depleting emergencies, These Americans would lack resources to cover basic expenses at the federal poverty level for just 3 months. The report found that even many Americans who would consider themselves middle class qualify as liquid asset poor with less than 3 months saving for basic expenses. The U.S. economy shrank from October through December for the first time since the recession ended in 2009, hurt by the biggest cut in defense spending in 40 years, fewer exports, and a sluggish growth in company stockpiles. Global investors say the data, the state of the U.S. government's finances is the greatest risk to the world economy, and almost half are curbing their investments in response to the continuing budget battles. Now, a shooting was reported Thursday in a school in Atlanta in the U.S. state of Georgia. Reports indicated that two people were shot at Price Middle School in the country. Fox News Atlanta also confirmed that two people were wounded in the shooting, including a 14-year-old. Unconfirmed reports said that one of the victims was shot in the head. The report also said police have taken into custody two people in connection with the shooting, and they have placed the school in lockdown. Parents are not being allowed to pick up their children at the time. The school is located in southwest Atlanta and has about 570 pupils. The shooting is the latest to occur in the U.S. as the U.S. wrestles with a state of gun violence. Most recently, a massacre left 20 young children and 6 adults dead at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut last month. Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.